Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place at the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went on together. Isaac stood up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar and on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And on this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray together. Lord, in these moments, as your word is now proclaimed, I ask that you might take my words and consecrate them, Lord, that they might accomplish your will as you anoint them by your Holy Spirit to speak truth for our lives today. And Lord, I ask that you might hide me behind the cross, that the words that are spoken here might be pleasing to you and might be used for your purposes. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the story of God asking Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, is honestly hard to stomach. I just finished a sermon series, as you know, on the heart of Jesus, the heart of our Savior. And as a part of that sermon series, I quoted Exodus 34, where God proclaims of himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. Now, that's the kind of God that I want to run towards. But a God who asks such a hard question of Abraham seems kind of a challenge for us this morning. The God of covenant, the God of Hesed, covenant love, asking Abraham to sacrifice the son that was to carry on the generations, the promise of that covenant, multiple generations that would follow Abraham. Abraham had waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. And what is being asked of him seems, incomprehensible. There must be something more important for us to see here as we take a closer look at this passage today. I want to remind you that as we read the Bible, sometimes as readers of the Scripture, we get insight that the person in the story doesn't necessarily have. An example of that would be the story of Job. Job has no idea that God and Satan have been talking, and Satan says, if you'll just let me take those things away from Job, you'll see how quickly he denounces you. And God gives him permission to do that. Job, on the other hand, is in the midst of the story, watching all these calamities come his way, losing all the things that were important to him, and he doesn't know he's being tested. Such is the truth of this scripture lesson today for us as well. Except for the reader, as I said, verse 1 of chapter 22 states it very clearly. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. The point of the message today is that God does test us. And that's the first point if you are taking notes today. If you were living between 1963 and 1997, that may apply to many of us in the room, myself included, but many children would not be aware of this. You may have heard on the radio or on television something that sounded like this. It will sound familiar to you. This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, the station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. And it would be followed by that horrific noise on your television or on your radio, but you knew that once you heard that noise, if it was a real situation, you needed to listen intently. There was something that was important information for you to gain. And that is true for us today. God is testing Abraham, the one who had been made covenant with, the one with whom we look back at the old covenant as the originator of that covenant before the law was given. He is carrying this thing before Jesus comes and picks up the new covenant. But friends, let me just say this. God never intended Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. This will be clearly addressed in a few moments, but I want to remind you of the words of the angel on Mount Moriah. Do not lay a hand on that boy. Do not do anything to harm him. God simply is providing a test for Abraham with one of the most, as Sarah was saying with our children, his most special, not possession, but his most special belonging, his very own son, the one who would carry the lineage of the faith and the covenant of God. Would Abraham pass the test? God wanted to see if Abraham was truly all in as the covenant bearer. God wanted to see if Abraham would be obedient, even if what was asked of him did not make any sense at all. Now, friends, as I studied this passage, I discovered that in Jewish theology, many Jewish writers and theologians believe that Abraham received about 10 different tests of God. I will not go over all of the 10 of them, but I think you will recognize some of the storylines. Abraham is asked to leave his country to an unknown land that God will show him, and he is 75 years of age and happily retired when this occurs. It is a test, and he does what God asks of him. But twice, because of Sarah's beauty, Abraham lies that Sarah is his sister, because as he was going through the land, various kings, recognizing Sarah's beauty, they would kill the husband and claim the wife for their own. Protecting his life, he was telling a lie. This is my sister. And in both instances, she does get taken. And in both instances, God has to straighten it out. But let me just remind you of all, friends, in those instances, he had forgotten that God had promised him that he would be the carrier of the covenant and that there would be many generations to follow after him. The loss of his wife was not going to happen, and God made sure that it wouldn't. He waited 25 years for Isaac to be born, and then he got impatient. And Sarah conceded to allow him to marry Hagar, a servant girl, and they would have Ishmael together to guarantee that there would be a descendant for Abraham. He was not being faithful or trusting God. He did not pass that test. But at circumcision time, at 99 years of age, when God asked him to be circumcised and to circumcise all the males in his family, within one day, every male in that family had been circumcised. Don't you know, that was a popular day in the family. But let's just back up and say, if we took it all of the tests, friends, He's batting about 500. About 50% of the things that God had asked him to do or believe in, when he had various times to prove that he thought God would be faithful, he had not been faithful to God. And so now comes the biggest test. God is going to ask him to sacrifice Isaac, his son, the linchpin, the promise that he would be a father for many generations. And let's add some depth to the story. Let's get into the mind of Abraham, if we can, with our imaginations for just a moment. God tells him that he needs to sacrifice Isaac, and the very next morning, he is quick to gather fire. He is quick to gather some firewood. He is quick to get servants and Isaac and a donkey and to head out with the place where God was going to show him. He was going to be obedient this time. But what was going through in his mind and in the minds of those who went with him? Did Isaac have any idea what was happening? I don't think he really understood. And as we were thinking about this, God told him to take his son and sacrifice him on the mountain. In today's world, when some child gets injured by a parent, we oftentimes will say, there is something that is not right about this situation. We might even start talking about mental illness involved. Now, let me be clear. Hagar and Ishmael had now been sent away. If I was to read to you Genesis 21, we would have understood that Hagar had been sent away with Ishmael, and God said that they would go with them. So when we hear the words of God saying, take your son, your only son, the one you love, and sacrifice him to me, there is no more backup plan. The backup plan has left the household, and she and her son are gone. And so can you just imagine the conversation when Abraham gets back home to Sarah? Well, I've gone up to the mountain, and I've killed our son Isaac. And I just can't imagine what Sarah would have said in that response, do you? Because she was the one who was encouraging Ishmael and his mom to go away. Most importantly, here we have this dilemma of a man who is debating in his mind, how can this continue? How can I carry out a great nation when God is asking this of me? Some people in today's world might just say simply, sorry, God, what you're asking is just too much. I can't do this. I'm out. I'm done. And I just pause for a moment to ask any of us that question. Is there anything that God is asking of you in this moment that seems just too great a sacrifice that you are not willing to be faithful to follow? In this moment, God reveals that God also, and I want to just bring this up, I want to speak to this very clearly, that God detests human sacrifice. In pagan religions of past, in third world countries where witch doctors are at work, where there are third world nations where there is pagan religion, human sacrifice still happens in many ways. But let's be clear, in the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and in the book of Psalms, God clearly speaks against the sacrifice of a human being, especially children. My limited research shows that human sacrifice goes back to the 4th century BC. But in the constitution of God's people in Deuteronomy 12:31, we hear these words, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. They do all kinds of detestable things that the Lord hates. They burn their sons and daughters in the fire, and they sacrifice children to their gods. Clearly, in Deuteronomy, there is a prohibition to doing this practice. But this is written after Abraham's time. Leviticus 18:21 states, you shall not give any of your children or offer them to Molech, because in those days, other religions, again, were sacrificing human beings and children. Because he says, to make this kind of sacrifice profanes the name of God. And he says, I am the Lord. And in Psalm 106:38, he declares, the shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land. Children are not to be sacrificed. God is clear, and God's word is clear on that, and we should be clear of that. Back to the test. On this occasion, Abraham is asked to make a sacrifice, his very son, the one whom he loves. And Abraham seems willing to the task. He steps up, not quite understanding how all this could work out, but he believes that somehow God will make provision. He builds the altar. He arranges the wood. He binds his son, Isaac. He places his very son on the altar and raises a knife to slay him. And this illustrates his willing heart. But then we are grateful to hear and the relief in the reader's ears to see the announcement of the angel, don't do it. Don't harm the child. You have passed the test. And Isaac, though, let's just step back and take a moment here. I'll get back to this at the end of the message. But let's take a look at Isaac in the passage. He willingly complies. He does not run away from his father. He does not wrestle with his father. He doesn't even ask the question why when he discovers that he is the offering. Remember that thought. Before moving on to the next point, we want to ask ourselves again, is there anything that God is asking of us that we have simply said, no, we're sorry, that's out of bounds. You cannot have that, Lord, because we are to offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God, and God should be first, and nothing should ever come between us and what God has called us. I'm so pleased to have a friend named Pastor Tim Turner in the Trinity Conference of the Global Methodist Church. And Tim has felt the call with his wife, Katie, his elementary age daughter, and a preschool daughter to move in July to the country of Tanzania. He feels compelled to build a seminary for all of the laity that have been left behind by the United Methodist Church. Those churches that need leadership, he will be training them in the next 5 years as a seminary is built there by our annual conference. And our prayers are with Tim, and we'll have an opportunity to meet Tim in the future. But friends, he has heard the call, and he has said, yes, I am willing to inconvenience my life to respond to a God who has called me to do something great for his kingdom. The second point is this. Abraham makes his faith statements along the way. We hear Isaac ask, where's the lamb, Dad? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? I don't see it. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And then that's what occurs. When the hand is stopped, when the angel declares not to harm the boy, God has prepared a ram that is caught in the thicket to be offered as an offering so that offering could take place. Abraham calls the place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, if you're more of the Hebrew dialect, or Jehovah Jireh, as we like to say in the States. Now, friends, back in 2022, I took a 2-month sabbatical. And in the second month of that time of my sabbatical, I studied the names of God. And Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, was one of those. I remember distinctly being in the backyard and sitting, and it was a beautiful day, and I was writing in my journal, how has the Lord provided for me? I went back in my mind and I reflected upon Gene and I at age 22, driving out to seminary in Pasadena, California, with a U-Haul full of belongings and one car and no jobs, no place yet secured for us to live in, knowing that school would be starting in a week and paying tuition immediately. But we knew that God would provide. And we were faithful, and we stepped out in faith. I reflected about that, and I reflected about every church that I had served and how God had been guiding me and leading us, preparing our family to move into new communities as we had moved. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And I knew that I was in a place in my sabbatical time where my mother had less than a month to live in hospice care. She was declining. And we were facing disaffiliation, a vote that would be about 4 months away. Not knowing how all this was going to play out, I held on to the promise the Lord will provide. And so, friends, today I celebrate as I stand before you that God did provide. God renewed my strength. The Lord provided what was needed. My mother had excellent care up until she breathed her last. And I grew, and I was prepared and ready for that moment. Great people left our church due to disaffiliation, but great people came to our church after disaffiliation. Our discipleship pathway has been now established. We're bearing great fruit from bands and class meetings and life to life and Sunday school classes and an excellent midweek meditation program. Yesterday's leadership retreat was a special time. It was a beautiful moment when, after Jay Ferguson spoke to our leaders, we simply stayed in the room and every table prayed for about 7 to 10 minutes. And it was beautiful to watch the leaders of our church praying for our future. We are, through Renovo Survey, a healthy and energized congregation. And friends, our sanctuary has been remodeled and a new organ is coming soon. And we have landed in a denomination that best fits our people. And we are committed to scriptural holiness and the making of disciples. God has been faithful. God provided for our need. But friends, there's a greater truth here I don't want us to miss. As we talk about tests, as I said earlier, God does test us. Testing provides, as it does in school, an opportunity to show that we are gaining knowledge, we are understanding what we've been trying to learn, and a test is the same with God. It gives us the opportunity to prove ourselves that we can have confidence, that we are growing in our faith. And we also have this other part of a test. The second part of a test, hear this now, provides God the opportunity to be faithful himself. The first one, as I told the Sunday school class this morning, if you have no tests, you have no testimony. A test is simply an opportunity to get a testimony. But secondly, Abraham's test gave God the opportunity to show up and to show off and to provide what was needed. So as I wrap this up and as we flip the script, if you read this morning's devotional Lenten journey written by Donna Castle, you've read this morning about the temptation in the wilderness. You've read about Jesus being in the temptation moment with Satan. And then another opportunity will come later in the Garden of Gethsemane when he must pray, "My Father, is it possible? May this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Friends, today we acknowledge that Jesus Christ was also tested as a human being, and he passed the tests. And after Jesus surrenders his will to the Father's greater purposes, hear this now, our story of the Bible whispers another name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, the other son, climbs another hill called Calvary, and instead of carrying the wood for the offering, he carries the cross on his back for the offering of his life. He does not run away. He does what the Father's will is. He willingly lays down his life for us. Jesus becomes the sacrifice. Jesus is our lamb. And once again, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides, has come through for us. We have been given a Savior who went to the cross willingly, quietly, laying down his life for the Father's will. And I wanted to make this connection from the scripture. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. And as was read and we declared earlier in this service, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one, his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life." Our God keeps covenant. And part of our covenant relationship with God is that our faith is tested. But God is the great provider. And ultimately, this story whispers the name of a greater sacrifice, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, your sins and mine, because of the sacrifice. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.